Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. When it comes to our bodies, and especially things that impact intimacy, it can be scary to talk about it. And there's a lot happening with our bodies that is far more common than we realize. But because there's such stigma around bodies, we feel often alone and isolated. So when Tara reached out and wanted to talk about her vaginismus, and I hope I pronounced it right, Tara. You can correct me.
Okay, good.
I was truly honored and touched because it was something I'd heard about it, but I didn't know what it was called, and I didn't really know a lot about it. So I think that this will be a really interesting conversation. I'm obviously going to learn a lot, and anytime we can destigmatize things around our bodies and things that impact intimacy, I think it's really important. So thank you so much, Tara, for being with us tonight.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
So why don't you tell us all about I know that vaginismus is a spasm in the pelvic floor muscle that can impact intimacy and even being able to put a tampon in and pelvic exams, but obviously it's so much more than just a few sentences that I can share right now and what I Googled and learned. So please tell us more.
So I would say that for me, vaginismus was a spasm in the pelvic floor. It was like the pelvic floor kind of closing in and the muscles being held so tightly and close together that it prevented entry of anything into the vagina. So like penis, tampon, speculum, nothing.
And when did this develop for you? When I was becoming quickly educated via Dr. Google, I learned that this can be physical, but this could also be emotional. It can be brought on by trauma, or it can be brought on by a medical condition.
Yeah. So what I've actually learned is that people call, there are two types. There's primary and then there's secondary. So primary is sort of, if you've always had it, you were born with it, you've had this always. And then secondary is if it develops after something. So sometimes people talk about it developing after, say, a traumatic birth or a sexual assault or something very traumatic to your body.
Yeah.
But for me, it was definitely primary. It was something that I always had. I don't feel like I really knew I had something wrong until I was about 20.
So this was something that you had probably always had, but when we're young, we're not as in tune with our bodies. I remember I didn't even try to use a tampon until I was maybe, I don't know, 16, 17.
Right. And I feel like kind of like, sounds weird, but like in my spirit, I feel like I always knew I couldn't use one. I never tried because I never really thought it was going to work. Like my friends say like, oh yeah, I put a tampon in, and oh yeah, like I went swimming today with a tampon in. And I used to think, when I was like 14, 15, 16, 17, I used to think that was the craziest thing I ever heard. Like, what do you mean you put a stick inside your vagina? Like, I couldn't even comprehend it. So I feel like I always knew. The first time that I realized that I had it, I was about 20. I decided that there was somebody that I wanted to have sex with.
Yeah.
And I felt like, okay, I've never used like this hole. I've never used this vagina before. I was like, okay, let me try to put in a tampon. So I got a mirror. I sat down. I on the internet on how to put it in. And I tried. And I went through like maybe 5 or 6 tampons. And every single one that I tried to put in, I like pushed and it like, I don't know how else to describe it. It was almost like my vagina was like pushing it right back out. So it was extremely painful anytime I tried to push it in, and my vagina would just like shoot it. So that was the first time that I recognized that something was wrong, but I thought I was crazy. I was like, aww, okay, all my other friends put in tampons. So all my other friends have sex. So how possibly could this be happening to me? Like, I must be doing it wrong. Aww. So I didn't really tell anybody about it. And I just kind of ignored it. I decided not to have sex with that person. And I just like chose to ignore the fact that something strange is happening. I can't put anything in my vagina.
Yeah, especially at that age. I mean, throughout our whole lives, I feel like, especially as women, there's so much stigma with our bodies and our vaginas. And yeah, it's hard to be like, oh, I'm just going to make an appointment to go see a doctor about this thing that makes me different. It's easier to just not want to figure out what's going on. But yeah, so you looked up on the internet how to put in a tampon and did a mirror. I think that's wonderful and great, tapping into your body. Did you look up in Google anything that could have been causing this, maybe?
No. So at that point, no. And I would also like to note, though, that I think that a lot of people who, based on conversations I've had with people who've had vaginismus, like when you initially recognize that it's painful to insert something or like something's not working, like one, it is embarrassing to go talk to a doctor about because they're going to want to examine this thing and it's going to then cause you more pain. So I think that the extreme pain is also something that kind of keeps you away. That was one reason that I didn't go to a doctor for a long time. Like, I didn't want to go there, and then it's going to be even more painful.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. I can imagine that, of course, pain would be something that would, yeah, deter you from wanting to figure out what's happening.
Yeah, so I did not look to see what it was then. Like, I really, truly just ignored it. So I met my husband then when I was 2 years later, when I was 22, we got married a year and a half later. So I was 23, almost 24 when we got married. And so, I mean, I was raised in the church. I was raised, you're not supposed to have sex. Sex is bad. But I didn't necessarily totally buy into that, but I pretended that I did because I didn't want to try to have sex.
Because yeah, that made it like, oh, I can't, you know, I'm waiting till marriage. So,
right. Yeah. And I just kept saying that over and over and over again, that whole period of time from like 20 to 24, like, nope, I can't have sex. I need to wait till I'm married. Nope. I don't know. Like, maybe like I'm going to be super comfortable when we get married and it's going to be okay. Like, maybe I just needed to relax. Like, maybe, like, just maybe something, it's going to magically be fine. So, we never tried.
Yeah, you never tried intercourse, but was there any foreplay type stuff that was, because even something as small as a finger would cause pain?
Oh, yeah, no, there was never a finger. There was never a tongue. There was never anything like that. Never. So we never tried anything until after we got married. And I was like, okay. And like the reason why we never tried anything was because I really kept saying, like, no, I don't believe in this. Like, no, we should wait.
And you didn't tell your partner at the time that you had any concerns about your body?
No, he didn't know
that. Wow.
No. And really, though, I don't know what I would have said because I didn't really get it then either.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, so we didn't try anything. And then we got married, right? And so then that's when, like, if you actually believe this thing, that's when you're supposed to have sex.
Yeah. Oh, Tara.
So I was like, okay. We tried it several times, and I don't know how else to describe it other than it just, like, truly felt like this thing doesn't fit. Mm. It can't even get in. Two, if you even try to approach the entrance and even try to get it in, like, even a centimeter, it hurts very bad. So, like, basically, it just felt like it didn't fit. It felt like there was literally impossibly, like, no possible way. For a year, we tried many times. Like, I really think at that point, he really thought, there's, like, actually something wrong with me. Like, no amount of relaxing, no amount of wine.
Yeah.
Being drunk didn't help. Nothing. So, I read just, like, usually on Snapchat, I'll read the news sometimes on there. Mm-hmm. And so, one day, I was reading through the Cosmopolitan app on Snapchat. And I was reading through it, and she explained all her symptoms and all the things that she was dealing with. She couldn't have it. There was nothing that could enter her vagina. Something tried to enter. It was very painful. Everything that I was experiencing, she was experiencing too.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, I guess maybe I have this thing. Like, maybe I have vaginismus. So I tried. That was, like, I would say maybe 6 months after we had been married. So I started researching it. I started Googling it. I started to like look at what like the treatments were. And I was pretty sure that this is the thing that I had. But it was like one thing to recognize that I had it, and then the second thing to try to get treatment, because mm-hmm. recognizing that I had it and figuring out what it was, like that actually turned out to be the easier part, because getting treatment, like, so I had an experience where a couple doctors that I talked to about it, they didn't know what it was.
Wow.
So it's like,
and gynecologists. Is who? Yes. Whoa. Yes. Oh, my
so, like,
goodness.
How do you get treatment when gynecologist?
No one knows. Yeah. Oh, that's so frustrating. And also, like, you're putting yourself in a really vulnerable and painful position to try to get help. And then they don't even know what it is. Oh, I'm so sorry, Tara.
So what I eventually decided to do was I was like Googling extensively. And so I recognized that on different websites, like for doctors and hospitals and things, vaginismus was sometimes under the heading of female sexual dysfunction. Mm. So I started searching for doctors in my area. And at that time I was in the Philadelphia area. So I started searching for doctors who female sexual dysfunction, because I felt like that was the best route I could take, because I had gone to two regular gynecologists and they were both like, what are you talking about, basically. Wow. So I knew I needed to find some kind of a specialist.
Yeah, you're smart. So you found a specialist, and where were they located?
So I found a specialist at Lincoln Hall Hospital in Philadelphia. Her website stated that she focused in pelvic pain. So I was like, okay, this is worth a shot. So this was August last year. This was August 2018. So it was June 2018 when I called. She didn't have an appointment for 2 months until August 2018. So
2 months, you finally find someone who you think can have these answers, and you have to wait 2 months. That must have felt kind of like an eternity. And here you and your partner haven't had the intimacy that I'm sure especially he's been wanting as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So I finally went to see her, and she basically told me, yes, you do have vaginismus. And she said that she wanted me to do many things before she would start treatment. So she wanted me to get on a daily, anxiety medication. She wanted me to go to therapy, and she recommended these therapists, which was great. But she was like, for me to treat you, you need to see one of these therapists, but they don't take insurance, and they cost $160 a session. Ugh. And you need to go every single week. There was something else that she said that I needed.
It sounds like she was honing in on the emotional, but for you, it's always been a physical, like, block, a wall that you can't,
Yeah, she was like, you need to go to therapy, you need to get on an anxiety medication, and you need to come see me every single week. And what we'll do here every week is we will start to use dilators. And so I don't know if you know what dilators are, but they're basically cylinders, and they come in various sizes. Like, they start at the size of your pinky and then go all the way up to the size of a penis. And so they are, you're supposed to like slowly start working with them, inserting them, and then eventually you're supposed to be able to get up to the biggest one.
Right. Like how our bodies are so easily able to expand for babies, but it's helping your body to expand and your pelvic floor muscles to open up.
Right. So it was supposed to like train your pelvic floor muscles. Yeah. So I left there though that day, and I was like, I felt kind of defeated, because I was like, I don't really feel like she got it, because it wasn't, I was like, go to therapy. Okay. But what am I supposed to talk about? Anti-anxiety medication. I just felt like, why am I taking that? Like, I don't feel like I need that. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I just didn't feel like at the time, like I just didn't feel like I needed it. And so because I didn't do those two things, I never went back to see her. And she also said I needed to see her weekly, but she was only there 2 days a week from 10:30 to 2:30. So anybody who like, you know, works a day job, that
that's not going to work. And then therapy at $160 a week. I mean, you want answers, you want to get help, but there has to be some balance in all of this too.
Right. It just didn't seem like, I was like, okay, maybe this is the treatment, but it didn't feel right. So I didn't go back to see her, because I wasn't going to do what she said she wanted me to do to treat me. And two, I don't know, it just didn't seem like a good fit for me. But at the same time, I was like, okay, if I don't like this doctor, if I don't go back to see her, then what am I going to do? Like, I don't know what else there is to do because I already looked so hard in this area for a doctor and she was the only one that I found. And in the Philadelphia area, like there are many, many doctors. There are many big hospitals. There are many places you could find somebody. And she was really one of the only ones that I found. And I would also like to mention that. So at the same time, so this was last year, last summer, my husband, he had had before we got married, he's a little bit older than me, and he had had a vasectomy before we got married. So obviously we want to have kids together. So we had been talking about, ever since I met him, we had been talking about him getting a vasectomy reversal. And so his doctor, when he had gone to many consultations and his doctor, the doctor he chose had been saying like, you need to do this sooner rather than later. It's already been 8 years. Like you need to do this. You know, sometimes it takes up to 12 months for the sperm to return. Like you need to get this surgery, at, you know, sooner rather than later. So last summer, he actually got his vasectomy reversal when we weren't even having sex yet. So,
wow.
And he did that. Like, so we could, you know, try to conceive, but like, we weren't even having sex. So it was
Did that feel like so much more pressure on you?
Yeah. So like, and no one's fault. Like, you know, it wasn't his fault. It was just like inadvertently. No. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, you literally had an operation so we can try to have a baby. Your penis can't even go into my vagina. So this is not, like, this is not good.
It's so easy for a man to get support that he needs with his, you know, reproductive health and things going on with his body. But here you're in a major metropolitan city, and there's one person who wants you to jump through all these hoops. Oh, oh my gosh. So, so frustrating.
Right. And so at that point, I didn't know what to do. So I did not go see another doctor. At that point, what I did was I went on Facebook and I started searching vaginismus and I found a support group. And so on Facebook, and I joined them and I just started like spending hours, like reading their page and reading their stories.
Wow.
And that was when I was like, okay, I see how these women have this thing for many years and they are able to get these therapies and get the help that they need. And so I still didn't feel like I needed the talk therapy, but hearing their stories of like how the dilators worked, how the pelvic floor training worked, and it like totally changed everything for them. I decided, I was like, okay, this is the route I'm going to go. What I wanted to get at that point was like, I want to get a referral to a pelvic floor physical therapist. So just like a regular physical therapy referral, there are pelvic floor physical therapists who will work with you with the dilators. So you don't have to have a doctor working with you with the dilators, a pelvic floor physical therapist will work with you with them. So that was what I decided that I wanted. That took a long time though. So we're fast forwarding. So if I saw that first doctor at Lincoln All in August 2018, all the way till spring of this year, so like March, April 2019, we actually moved from Philly to Delaware. So now we're living in Delaware. And so now obviously I'm like so far away really from any major hospitals and things.
Yeah.
Like we have Christiana Hospital, but that's an hour from where we are. So what I decided to do was I'm just going to start calling gynecologist offices and asking them if they know what vaginismus is. And the first one that says they know what it is, that's where I'm going to go.
I'm booking an appointment.
Yeah.
Like, get me in tomorrow.
Yeah. Like I was like, because somehow, like once we got to Delaware, like we sold the house that my husband had had like prior to us getting married. We bought a new house together. Like I felt like everything was starting over. Like things were going great. I got a new job. Everything was going well. And I was like, okay, like I need to handle this. Like I was finally like super determined. Like I'm not going to not handle this this time. Like this time I'm going to deal with it. So,
and how has your husband been through all of this and supporting you through it?
Like so perfect. Like I can't even really describe it because it's truly like, I never really ever not one time felt like he put pressure on me. Like he was mad at me. Like he was upset. Like I never felt that. Not even once. Like he was always just able to let me deal with it, like in my own timeline. And so like, I'm like forever appreciative of that.
What an incredible partner. Yeah, I mean, that's what we can all hope for, is someone who will be there to support us. But intimacy is such a big part of a relationship. And we know there are a bazillion different ways to be intimate, but intercourse is a big deal, whether we want to think it is or isn't. And so to have a partner that is supportive, I'm so glad you had that, Tara.
Yeah. And I mean, like, there are a lot of women who, and women I've talked to since, like, online and things, like, they don't have supportive partners. And it makes it that much harder, because you already feel guilty. Like, you don't need someone to make you feel guilty. You already feel bad. You already feel like there's something wrong with you. You already feel like you're not doing what you're supposed to do as somebody's wife. Like, you don't need somebody to tell you that. Like, you got it. You already feel that way. So,
yeah. And I'm curious, because I read online that, you know, the pelvic floor stretching can help. Did people in this group suggest different dilators that you could do at home? Or is this something really that needs to be done with a trained physical therapist?
No, a lot of people do it on their own as well. I didn't want to do it on my own because I actually had, I forgot to mention this, but I'd actually purchased dilators after I met with that first doctor. And I had tried the smallest one. The smallest one is like the size of my pinky finger, and I couldn't even get it past the entrance. Wow. And I tried multiple times. So I didn't feel like I had the resources or the knowledge to figure out how to deal with this. But a lot of women want to do it at home, or they end up having to do it at home because they don't have the resources in their area for a pelvic floor physical therapist who is trained to treat vaginismus.
Well, I mean, and you just think of how much support we actually need with pelvic floor help, especially after childbirth. And yet it's not something that is as common as there really is a demand. And I think it's because so many people don't speak up. We feel, I mean, this is different than vaginismus, but, you know, we feel like incontinence is just normal after childbirth, right, when it's actually really not. So again, I know I want to hear more of your story unfold, but I'm just so thankful of you bringing it to this platform so we can talk about things that are happening to our bodies and speak up and raise awareness so people get trained and can support you. I'm just popping in to say that I've been where you might be today. Plus size, pregnant, and discouraged by all the negative information online about what it is like to have a plus size pregnancy. Over the past 7 years, as a certified childbirth educator, I've supported thousands of plus size people during pregnancy. And I've poured all the information I've gained into a guide that will support you. Get the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide today at plussizebirth.com. Be sure to enter coupon code PLUSMOMMY to get 20% off your guide. You can also get the audiobook version that I recorded just for you. Stop Googling and start feeling empowered today. Now, let's get back to the show. So you're searching for someone in your area now to help you.
Right. So I think I called like 3 or 4 places and it was a no-go. And so then the 5th place I called, I asked if they knew what it was. And they told me that, yes, this doctor has previously referred people out to pelvic floor physical therapy. And I was like, okay, thank God. Like, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking yes. for someone who will give me this referral. Like, that was all I wanted at this point. And like, kind of like, remember, like, at this point I'm 26 and I've never had a pap smear. I've never had a pelvic exam. So like, that was also weighing on me heavy too. Like, I'm not even like on top of my own health at this point. Like, there could be like 100 things wrong with me and I would never know because I can't even get a test, you know, that you were supposed to get like 5 years ago. So I went to see her and I like told myself that day, I was like, I'm going to get this referral. Like, I'm not going to get a pap. I'm not going to get a pelvic, because I already knew that going to a gynecologist and being 26, like, they were going to put pressure on me to get these tests done because, like, you know, that's what they're there to do, really. And I'd already had experience where like that pressure was put on me to get them done in the past. And I, you know, I never have. So
yeah, it's like that first patient visit, you have to, A, B, and C has to occur when you're like, No, I'm unique. I'm different. This is painful. This isn't what I need, but you have to advocate for yourself.
And that's the word I was going to say, advocate. Like, I was determined to advocate for myself and I did. And I was like, I'm not going to like be pressured into doing something that I don't want to do.
Good, good, good for you.
Yeah. So I went, and actually the secretary was the first person who said it to me. She was like, so you're here, you're going to get your pap smear today, right? And I was like, oh, already? So I was like, no.
No.
I would just like to talk to the doctor about like the issue that I described, you know, to the person on the phone when I called. And she was like, oh, okay, well, you'll have to let like the nurse know when you walk in. I was like, okay, no problem. So walked in, and I just like immediately from the jump, I just like told the nurse, I said, I believe I have vaginismus. I'm here for a referral to pelvic floor physical therapy. Like I don't want to get in the gown. I'm not going to get a pap. I'm not going to get a pelvic. I'm not going to get any tests today. And she was like, okay, like I'll have the doctor come in and talk to you. So the doctor came in and talked to me. She said that she needed to do some kind of exam to confirm a vaginismus diagnosis. And so she wanted to try to do a pap smear. And she like showed me the different size speculums. And at that time I was like, she was like, they're the size of a tampon. It's really small. And I was like, well, a tampon, like that's extremely painful to me. So that's not going to work. So
yeah,
we ended up agreeing, and then she wanted to try a finger. And I was like, I don't know about that. So we ended up agreeing that she would just try with the Q-tip that you use, like, you know, like that they put in to do like the STD testings and things. Mm-hmm. So she took this long Q-tip and she like approached my vagina with it. She got it in like slightly at the entrance, but then my pelvic floor was like spasming, clenching tight. She couldn't push it much past the entrance. It started to hurt. And so she pulled it out and she was like, okay, you're right. It is vaginismus. I'll write you the referral, but I want to see you back here. This was May when I saw her. And she was like, I want to see you back here in August to get the test. And I believe that, you know, if you go to these appointments, like you'll be able to come back here and get your pap and everything in August. So I left there that day and I was like so happy because like, yeah, you know, I finally got what I, you know, what I had gone there for.
And you advocated for yourself. I mean, yeah, I can understand on one hand they have to give some kind of diagnosis to be able to give a referral, and sometimes insurance requires that as well. But you didn't just consent to a full speculum pelvic exam, which for me, it's uncomfortable, and I don't, you know, even after giving birth, it's uncomfortable. Right. And so I'm really proud of you for saying, no, that's not going to work. Let's come to a compromise together. So that self-advocacy is so critically important.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, just even thankful that she was accepting of that, you know, and that she didn't say like, well, no, I can't confirm it unless I do X, Y, and Z. So
yeah.
When I left there, I called the pelvic floor physical therapist's office, and the referral she gave me was for the women's physical therapy at the hospital's called Bay Health in Dover, Delaware. And so we live very close to there. So I was like, okay, this is cool. This is really close. This will work. So I called them and they told me, they said, okay, well, our pelvic floor physical therapist, we only have one, and she has a 6-week waiting list, so we can put you on the list, and, you know, we'll give you a call when she's available. So, yeah. I mean,
I guess that's better than 6 months,
yeah,
but still, it probably felt like 6 months, those 6 weeks.
Yeah, so it was discouraging, but at that point, I was like, okay, like, whatever length of time they said, I would have said fine. Because at that point, like I did, that was the last thing I thought I could try to do. So they ended up calling me in 4 weeks and I went to my first appointment at the end of June. I'm a teacher. So it was like right when school was out. And so I went, the first appointment, all she did was talk about what pelvic floor physical therapy is and what she would be doing. She said her goal was to help you basically engage and train the pelvic floor muscles to basically, in a sense, learn how to, you know, relax them and allow entry into your vagina. And that she was going to do so through different breathing exercises, different strengthening techniques, dilator use. And then she specifically talked about how she would teach you how to like release the tension in like areas of your body, like close to your vagina, like your thighs, your groin, like all of those things, like where you're holding tension is also like creating an issue for your pelvic floor. So I said, fine, like, I'm just going to trust whatever you're going to do. Let's do it. Because at that point, like, as scared as I was for something to go close to my vagina, as much as I knew it was going to hurt, I was like, let's do it. But she made it a point to say that she never goes past pain. So she said, if anything we do ever gets to a point where it's like past a 2 or 3, like on that like scale of 1 to 10 pain threshold, uh-huh. like she's going to stop there. And then she's going to teach you how to work through that point, work through that pain before she goes any further. So
that sounds wonderful. I mean, that's what you'd want from any therapy, right? Whether it's physical or emotional, you want to gradually work your way up and work all areas. So it sounds like everything that you'd been searching for months and months and months and months.
Yeah. So it was exactly that. So I saw her from the beginning of June to the end of August. Every time I would go, she would teach me a different technique. She would give you homework of things to practice, how to use the dilators, how to insert them. She taught you how to thrust them, various things. And so she would, after every appointment, she'd give you like homework to do. And then every time I went back to her every week, like I had made progress that I was like amazed by. So within a month, I had gotten through the whole set of dilators. So from like the size of a finger all the way up to like the size of, I mean, I would say it's like the size of an average penis. Like that's, I got through
those dilators
in a month. Yes. One
in
month.
A month. I mean, yeah. That is incredible. You had been waiting since the time you were a young girl with that mirror and the tampon. And to now in 1 month, I mean, that's incredible. It just shows that if you connect with the right physical therapist to work through many different things, not just this, and get the help you need, your life can be changed in a short amount of time compared to the years you were searching for answers. Yeah, wow.
Like, that's the other reason I want to talk to you about this today, because it's like, who knew, like how, what, I never knew that I could just get this therapy and it would be okay, because nobody talks about it. So
yeah,
I had to do all these years of research and like trial and error to even get to this point, when in actuality, it would have only taken like a matter of months to overcome.
Wow.
So yeah. So after a month, I was able to get through all of the dilators. And then I would say in about 6 weeks, we were able to start having pain-free sex.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So we started having sex, started using tampons. And then by like the eighth week, I would say, she discharged me from physical therapy. She did a pelvic exam herself with her fingers.
Wow.
And she like, you know, she inserts two fingers and she goes like feels around to feel if there's any remaining tension, any remaining tightness or anything like within your vagina. She didn't feel anything. She said I was good to go. So a week after that, I went back to that same doctor who had given me the referral. And like, I got my pap smear, I got my pelvic exam, everything clear. And it's like a whole new world. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
For you and your partner. Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful. I'm so incredibly happy for you. I'm curious, did your physical therapist say anything about, because you want to have kids, did they bring up childbirth and how those muscles could react in labor?
So they had said at the time that actually the first doctor I saw in 2018 said that usually when you give birth, if you have vaginismus in labor, like you can have a vaginal birth, but a lot of times if you're denying pelvic exams, if you're denying cervical checks, your doctor is going to opt to just do a C-section because they don't know what's going on. And so they're not going to allow a vaginal birth.
But maybe since you've done all this work and
right, that would be
have
if you
the tools.
Cured.
Yeah.
That would be if you weren't cured. So at this point.
So with a cure, then you could definitely attempt to have a vaginal birth.
Yeah, because people who aren't cured, like I'm sure you think like, how would they get pregnant? A lot of people who aren't cured are trying to get pregnant by like a syringe method.
Yeah. Insemination. Yeah.
Things like,
which I don't blame them. I mean,
right, because you feel hopeless.
Yeah.
Like you feel like I'm never gonna get over this. Like there's nothing that's ever gonna change. Like I want to have a baby, so okay, like
yeah,
get with the syringe and have, you know, you know, have my baby however I can.
Yeah. Which I so respect those people. I was
definitely.
Just curious about your pelvic floor strength. And then, you know, but you've learned all these tools and now you're able to have pain-free sex and use tampons. I can only imagine how, I mean, so beautiful for your relationships, but also for your relationship with your own body and everything that you've gone through.
Yeah. And for me, it's at a point where, I mean, it's only been like, what is this, September 12th? So it's really only been like 3 or 4 weeks since I've been having
Oh my gosh.
And
wow.
So what I'm trying to say is like, I really consider myself cured because it's not like I have to like sit there before we have sex and like train, like relax my muscles and like calm them down and get them ready. It's just, I'm cured. Like there's not a problem anymore. Like we can have sex without me like thinking about having to do any of that now.
I am so happy for you. I mean, it's something that so many of us take for granted, but you know, in yours, your vaginismus was, you know, a physical condition, but there might be someone listening right now who has developed it from some kind of trauma. And so what Tara and I want to say is like, get the help that you need too, regardless of how you've incurred this condition, or if you've given birth and you're having struggles with your pelvic floor, like get the help that you need. Yes, while this is a very sensitive area of our bodies that we don't always like to talk about, like our vaginal health, our, you know, everything about our bodies, but especially our private areas, we shouldn't have to feel so private and locked into. We should get the help that we need. But it sounds like often it's really hard to get that help. And you had to go through so many hoops and even move to a different area, thankfully helped you to find the right people. But you did the advocacy, you made the phone calls, and now it's changed your whole life. And now you guys can work on trying to conceive and building a family. And yeah, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, thank you. And I would just like concur with that and say like the advocacy piece is critical. Had I not advocated for myself, I do not know where I would be. Had I not advocated for myself, I don't know if, you know, that doctor would have said like, yes, you need pelvic floor physical therapy, or if she would have suggested something else, or, you know, I don't know. So I just feel like if you feel like you know what you need, if you feel like you know what treatment, how you want to handle whatever your condition is, like advocate for that because you know best about what you need for your body.
Yeah, and it is your body, and consent is so important. Like you consenting to how you wanted that first exam done. I mean, just listening you to walk through, no, I'm not okay with this. Yes, I'll be okay with that. Like, it's also about having that power too and that security. And, you know, so often, unfortunately, I hear stories where care providers just do things in labor without asking for consent. And that can lead to more trauma, which could lead to, you know, something like this happening to people because things happen to our bodies without consent. So finding that care provider that you feel comfortable with too, and that physical therapist, my goodness, for them to say like, you know, if you're getting past a 2 with pain, like we're not proceeding. Like there again was that comfort and that trust and that consent, which is so important.
Right. She asked me every visit what I was comfortable doing. And like every step of the way, like she would stop and she would say like, are we still good? Are you still okay? How do you feel? Like, can I keep going? Like she wasn't there to like push her own agenda. Like she was really there to help me, you know, get to my cure, whatever that took. So yeah, I'm just like really grateful that I was able to connect with care providers who, you know, who were really able to help.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story and talking about something that isn't talked about often enough. But obviously, I mean, 8 weeks and you're discharged from physical therapy.
It's,
I mean,
crazy.
There is a cure and it shouldn't have taken years for you to be able to get to it. So I really, really appreciate it. Were there any websites or other resources? I know you said that Facebook page that we can put in the show notes. Is there anything else that comes to mind?
Vaginismus.com. That was where I got the dilators that I used from. That's like kind of the most popular set I find that people use.
Wonderful.
For dilators. But yeah,
Thank you.
Facebook group, if you have vaginismus, I highly recommend you join that group. Like you will feel instantly connected, you know, to people who go through the same thing, because like, I like really doubt I'll ever, I personally feel like I'll never meet someone like face to face who has this condition. So that group can like really connect you to like a good support system.
Good. And we all deserve support when we're struggling with something, and to not feel like we're alone too, which is so important. And it helps us to feel empowered to research and get the support that we need as well. And to keep, in your case, keep fighting for that support and to get the referral that you need to get help. So whatever your personal battle is, listeners, like, keep fighting for yourself because you matter. And I'm so glad we were able to raise awareness of vaginismus and that you shared so much in so detail. And I'm so happy that you guys are having pain-free sex. Yeah. Like, that's just incredible. There's so much to be said for just everything that you've gone through. And now it's just like everything's okay. And that it just makes me so happy for you, truly, like incredibly happy for you and your husband and your guys' future together, and that you went through all of that. And what an incredible partner to, you know, to not make you ever feel bad about it, because you were carrying enough on your shoulders with that weight of all that you went through. So incredible. Thank you. What an incredible story. Thank you, Tara.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and like definitely thank you for having me on and like bringing awareness to something like this, because, you know, it is stigmatized. And I know that people don't feel comfortable talking about stuff like this. So I just thank you for like having this platform and for, you know, people to be able to hear stories like this. It's really important.
Well, I wouldn't be able to be sharing it if it wasn't for you sharing it. So you telling your story, it means the world to me. And I'm sure, I've got to believe that there's someone listening right now, and you might have just changed their lives forever. So thank you, Tara.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, friends. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.